Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen, amen. Today, as you're having a seat, get your Bibles out and go with me to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Today, I'm talking to you about the value of life in church. I'd like to open today's message with a story about a tree. There once was a tree that was planted in someone's backyard. It started to grow, and as it grew, it realized that it was a great place that it was living in. Lots of water, lots of sunlight, four seasons. Birds would come through at different times and migrations, and they would nest in its branches. And as it continued to grow, it realized, I can see over the fence. Wow, there's something else going on. There's other trees around me, and different things are happening in the neighborhood. And as it continued to grow up, it could see the rooftops and could see the edges of the city. Continued to grow up, and it realized, wow, there's some hills beyond the city limits. There's some mountains off in the distance. And it realized that it was in a place and started to get a little bit monotonous, you know, year after year, the same thing, the cold, the wind, the heat, the beautiful season where it would flower, and same birds coming through every year and same view every year. And thought, man, if I could just get up and if I could just look out, I could see those mountains. I could see beyond these hills. And got about as tall as it was going to get and started to not really like the view anymore. Didn't really like the place that it was in anymore, and kind of just thought, man, this is getting crazy. So it had a thought, I know what I'll do. I'll just uproot and I'll get out of here. Much like a scene from Lord of the Rings, it started to walk out of the backyard, walk out of the neighborhood, walked out of the city limits, walked out to those hills and started to see up into the mountains, walked up into the mountains. There in the mountains, it started to find out there were other kinds of trees. There were other things going on, other types of animals around. It was in awe. It was wowed, but realized it was starting to get thirsty and needed a drink. So it found a river and a little stream that went into a lake and took a big drink and greened back up for a little while. But then it thought, I wonder what's beyond these mountains, and started to go beyond the mountains, you know, because the mountains after a while had gotten sort of boring, sort of monotonous. It'd seen everything it needed to see there. Went to the deserts, found out that the deserts had a lot of sand, a lot of cactus, different animals, once again, reptiles and things like that. But there was no water there, and so it couldn't stay there. Finally, this tree came to a place like it had never seen before. It came to these vast plains. It was stark in the contrast. You could see for miles and miles and miles. The horizons were just grasses all the way along. It wasn't really much else, and it liked the solitude, liked the place where it was at. And it noticed that there were other trees in these plains, but all of these trees were lined up next to each other, very close. And you know, this tree had gotten used to being on its own and being by itself. Didn't really want to line up with the other trees, but it noticed it was starting to get brown again, starting to dry up. And when he talked to the other trees and he said, hey, you know, what's going on here? Why are you guys all lined up? And they said, well, we're all lined up here because there's a river underground. We've tapped into this river and that's why we can survive out here. That's why we're lined up so close, because when the winds come, we don't get blown over. We're here for safety and protection as well as for nourishment. And this tree, because it had been on its own for so long, didn't want to conform, didn't want to line up, and thought, you know what, I'll just go on my own in the middle of the field, and if there's water there, there's got to be water over there. It went and found a small hill that it liked, where it was all by itself, where it could see for miles and miles and miles, and it started to dig down roots there, started to bring its roots down, and yet that tree withered, and that tree died on its own out there in the field. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about a tree. Obviously, I'm talking about our lives. I'm talking about the value of planting in church. And next weekend, we're going to have what we call Vision Weekend. We're going to have a Vision Sunday, if you will. We're going to be talking about the vision that God has given us for the year. And that's all great. That's all fine. That's all wonderful. But we have to understand that that vision is submitted to the overarching vision that God has given this church. Can I tell you something about myself? Is that even though I'm the senior pastor here, I go to this church. I'm planted here. I took the membership class. I volunteered and continue to volunteer time here. I pray for this church. I pray for you, not just because I'm a pastor, but because I actually believe in the things that are going on here. I came to this church because I liked what was going on. I liked what was happening. I enjoyed the word. I enjoyed the spirit. I enjoyed the music. I enjoyed what was taking place in the streets and in the community outreaches and those sorts of things. And I found community and I found relationships. And I got plugged into a ministry and started to serve. In fact, when I came on staff here at the church, I did not start as a pastor. I cleaned toilets that you all messed up. I was in our membership department typing letters to people that came for the first time. I've done probably every job you can think of around this church. And eventually became a pastor and eventually do what I do. And at the start of my pastorate here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, it was 3 years ago, I was named the pastor in October. And January came around, everybody said, what's the vision for the year? You've got to give us the vision for the year. And all this pressure came on me. I thought, oh my goodness, now I got to come up with vision. You know, what's happening? I pressed in the Lord, God, I need the vision. And I started to think about things. I couldn't come up with anything. And I'm praying, God, what's the vision? What's going on? And I realized something. And this will shock some of you guys, but I stood up in front of this church and I made this statement that year in January. I said, I do not have any vision for the Rock Church World Outreach Center. Isn't that crazy? It's shocking that a pastor would say that, isn't it? But listen, the only vision that I have is the vision that God has for the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. See, I'm just an under-shepherd doing my best to follow the great shepherd of the sheep. I am not the senior leader or senior pastor. Jesus Christ is the senior pastor of this church and of every church that's called by his name. And so we're just here doing our best to follow Jesus. And anything that I give you is what God has given me. And honestly, what God has given to this church, all of us together are carrying the vision that he's given to us. And so next week, when we start to talk about the year, when we start to talk about the vision, it is all submitted to the overarching purpose of the church, the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. There may be a theme and an emphasis, but that is all flowing from the vision that God has given to us. And so I wanted to make sure that before we even get there, that we know the purpose, we know the vision, we know the values of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. Some of you guys have been coming here a long time, and this is going to be great refreshers for you today. Some of you guys have been here a short time, and some of this stuff will be new to you. But wherever we're at today, I want to make sure that you know the value of planting and of plugging in. Now, if God should move you on, if God maybe gives you a great job somewhere else, I want you to be able to plant somewhere else in a healthy church so that you don't die out in the field alone. I want to make sure that your life is strong and healthy. I'm mature enough to know that not everybody's coming to this church for the rest of their life, all right? But you should be planted somewhere. You should be submitted to a pastoral authority. You should be being led. You should be a part of a community of believers. There is a value in planting in church. And when we plant our lives in church, some things happen, okay? And I just want to quickly go through these things and share with you what takes place in our lives. And then I'm going to share with you the vision and the values of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center specifically. But for every church, there's some values, some things that happens when we plant our life in church. First thing is this, is that it brings stability. When we plant our lives in church, it brings stability. If you go out into our courtyard right now, you'll see some beautiful trees. We've got these massive date palms, all right? When we bought those date palms, we bought what we thought to be fruitless date palms. But I guess the soil out here is so fertile, and this place is such a blessed place, that those things started producing dates. They started producing fruit. And now we have to spend extra money, even though we already spent extra money to buy fruitless date palms. Now we have to spend extra money to cut all the fruit off every year so that they don't fall on you and your kids. Praise the Lord. But also we have pepper trees out there in the courtyard, and those pepper trees are beautiful. In fact, this whole campus was modeled after a modern California mission. Oftentimes when you go to the missions, you'll find these pepper trees. They're beautiful. And these pepper trees out there, as they were growing, you know, because they're planted in the grass, the roots aren't very deep. And so they would start to come up because we were watering the grass, and so they were coming up to where the water was. And those roots, you know, some of those roots get big and gnarly and that sort of thing, and we're concerned about, you know, kids running by and tripping on them. And we have some people, you know, we're in California, anytime water falls out of the sky, it's like something strange is happening. And so people are wearing their flip-flops and their shorts to church, and they're getting on the sidewalks and slipping, and as they're walking across, we didn't want anybody to trip on those roots, you know, especially because everybody in our day and age is sue happy, you know what I mean? They're trying, I tripped over a branch, I'm going to sue the church for that, you know? Come on, really? But it's happening. So we said, you know what? We talked to our landscaping guys, and we said, hey, would you guys cut those roots? Just the ones that are popping up. Well, they did such a good job of cutting those roots. In fact, too good of a job, if you know what I'm saying, that the first gust of wind came up and blowed on those trees, and they toppled right over. Now, thankfully, no one was in the courtyard at the time that happened, but it made quite a stir amongst the staff when we were going, oh my goodness, look at these trees topple over. In fact, we got a picture up on the overhead. If you've ever seen a tree falling over, this is not our courtyard. This is somewhere else. But look at that massive tree, and look at that root system. Look at that. Very shallow, not that much of a root system holding up that entire tree. See, in our lives, when we get planted in church, when we start to dig down roots, it causes life to become stable and strong and steady. In fact, there's a viral video going on the internet right now about trees up in Canada where they say it looks like the ground is breathing. I want to show this video to you. Check this out. Watch the ground there. Doesn't that look crazy? Trees are being pushed by winds, and as they're being pushed, they're starting to pull up, but because they're connected to other trees and other root systems around them, they're all staying strong, and they're all standing up still, that these trees aren't going to topple over. Why? Because they're interconnected with one another, and they're able to withstand winds that would have normally, if that tree was on its own, caused it to fall over. See, what happens when we come into church is there is a stability and a strength that's brought into our lives. When we dig down deep and when we're connected with other believers, something happens in our lives that when the winds, when the pressures of life start to push against us now, even though we may sway, even though we may bend, we will not break, we will not fall over, and we will not lose our place. Why? Because we are connected to the church. I had you turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and I want to read in verse number 15. The Apostle Paul is writing to his young protege, Timothy. He's a young man. He's just 40 years old, probably, many scholars believe. I'm turning 40 this year. He was a young man, praise the Lord. And in 1 Timothy, I'm going to take a look at chapter 3 and verse number 15. The Apostle Paul writes to him. He says, I want to come to you, Timothy, and I want to encourage you and strengthen you. But look at what he says in verse number 15. He says, but if I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. And then he defines for us what the house of God is, which is the church of the living God. And then he goes on to define it even more with two words. He says it is the pillar and the ground of truth. The church of the living God is the pillar and the ground of truth. Now, I want you guys to just take a moment and look around you for a second. There are four large pillars in this sanctuary. These pillars hold up the roof of this church. Aren't you thankful for those pillars, right? Because otherwise, that whole thing would topple in on us. These pillars are massive. They are strong. In fact, they've got foundations underneath them, probably 30 feet deep and 10 foot wide of just straight foundational concrete that's holding these pillars in place so that when winds, when adversity, when hot and cold and pressures come on this building, that they continue to hold up this building, even in earthquakes and all sorts of other things that take place, that they're able to hold up the roof of this building and keep this place strong and steady. See, when you come to church, when you come into the house of God, now all of a sudden something happens. This is the pillar and is the ground of truth. See, when you come into church, you are going to get encouraged. You're going to get built up. You're going to get strengthened. You're going to be connected to other believers. And you're going to connect to that foundation. See, no other foundation can be laid except that which is already laid. And his name is Jesus Christ. And so here is the pillar and the ground of truth. See, the truth that you're going to hear from the Word of God. And don't ever go to a church that's not preaching the Word of God. Let me say that again. Don't ever go to a church that's not preaching the Word of God. We're not here looking at internet suggestions. I don't care what Oprah or Dr. Phil has to say. I want to hear what God has to say, because Jesus said, your word is truth. I need the truth of God's word. See, so that when I walk out of this place and the pressures of life come on me and things try and sway and the whole world is falling down, the word of God and the church is the pillar and the ground of truth that will hold your life up when the world around you is falling down. So the value of life in church is that it brings stability, number one. Second thing is this, is that when we plan our lives in church, second thing is that it nourishes us. When we come to church, we should be nourished. I remember a time, I was just 16 years old. I had gotten saved at age 15. And by the time I was age 16, just on fire for the Lord, doing everything that I could try and do to get closer to Jesus. So I decided I was going to go on a fast. And I wasn't just going to do one of those introductory fasts where you skip a meal or something like that, or, you know, have a day cleansing, 24-hour cleansing fast or anything like that. I was going to go for the gusto. You know what I mean? And so I was like, don't give me those pansy fasts, those little things. I'm going for it. I'm more spiritual than that. And so I started out my very first fast was a 5-day, no food, no juice, no supplement, just water and the word fast. And so I was going for it, right? And I remember that I had a little job. My first little job was that I was mowing my grandmother's lawn for like $50 a month, okay? 16 years old, and I am there after 5 days of fasting, no food, no drinks outside of water, no supplements, nothing. And I probably look like the walking dead, the mowing dead. I was just like this, you know, kind of walking across my grandmother's lawn. Barely could lift my legs to push this lawnmower. It was hot out. I was sweating all of the water that I'd put in my body out. I probably looked like Skeletor or something like that, just walking across my grandmother's lawn. She's up there on the patio with her arms crossed, frowning at me next to my mom. And she leans over and she says, "What's wrong with Daniel?" And my mom says, "Oh, he's been on a fast. He's been going for 5 days. He hasn't eaten anything." And she's like, "Well, get him off of the lawnmower. I could do it faster than that." And it was probably true. I was going, "Grandma, why didn't you spend the extra money for the drive thing, you know, where it, like, at least it could pull me along this thing, you know?" But I probably wouldn't even have been able to close my hand strong enough to hold that thing down. See, we need nourishment. When you don't eat, you get weak. Now listen, what I'm saying to you needs to be understood in the sense that I'm not here to spoon feed you, all right? But I am here as a shepherd to lead you to the still waters, to lead you beside the green pastures, and to put you in a place, in a position, so that you can feed off that yourself. Is anybody listening? Okay, we're going to look at this in the Word of God, because without proper nourishment, we're going to lose our strength. Also, if you don't get nourished, it can affect your attitude. You know, there are certain people in my life that I just know, they haven't been in church. You know what I'm saying? Right? You call somebody, like, "Hey, bro, how you doing?" "Ooh, he hadn't been in church." Right? Call up your mama. "Hey, mama, how you?" "Ooh, mama, you been in church?" You know, in the world, when someone doesn't eat and it starts to affect their attitudes, they have a word for that, don't they? They call it getting hangry. It's a very real thing. I typed it into my message notes and it did not autocorrect and it didn't put that little red dotted line under there. So it has been accepted. It is a real thing now. In fact, my beautiful, lovely wife, if she doesn't eat, gets hangry. I remember on our honeymoon, we were driving. We were going from San Luis Obispo, slow, and we were headed up to Morro Bay. We're going to go see Morro Rock and kind of hang out there. And so about, you know, 10:45, 11 a.m. in the morning. And so we started our drive out. And so I turned to my beautiful, lovely bride, and I said, "Are you hungry?" And she said, "I'm good. I can wait." And I said, "Okay." And so we started to drive. And we drove. And we drove. And we drove. And the road was long, and the conversation tapered off, and it got a little bit quiet in the car. And I remember we passed this big institution. It was either like a correctional institute or an army base or something that was out there in the middle of nowhere. And next to it, there was a Taco Bell. Now, I'm not having Taco Bell. You know what I mean? I'm going to Morro Bay. They've got all these shops and restaurants and, you know, they've got this good stuff there. So, you know, I'm just going to press through. We're almost there. Probably got another half hour left of the drive. But as we passed Taco Bell, my beautiful, lovely bride turned to me. And in the sweetest voice, she longingly looked at me and said, "Are you trying to starve me?" I just pulled into the Taco Bell driveway. I said, "Yes, give me 2 enchiladas, 3 tacos, 4 bread, just whatever you've got ready right now. Just get it in the car. I'll pay for it later." We had Taco Bell. Acts chapter 20, verse number 28. I'm going to be reading it in the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation of Acts chapter 20, verse 28. The Apostle Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders. It's the last time he's going to see them. So he's giving them his last exhortation, his last encouragements. These are guys that are leading the church. They're weeping, they're crying, they're hugging him, they're kissing him because they know that they're not going to see his face any longer. And in Acts chapter 20, verse number 28, he says this, "So guard yourselves and God's people. Feed and shepherd God's flock." And then he defines what that is, his church, purchased with his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as elders. The job of every pastor is to shepherd the flock of God that is our responsibility. 1 Peter chapter 5 tells us that. And in the Amplified, it defines for us what it means to feed the flock of God or to shepherd the flock of God. It means to nurture, guard, guide, and fold the flock of God. That is our responsibility. We are to nurture you. What does that mean? We are to get you into a place of nourishment. Now, like I said, we as pastors are not there to spoon feed you. We're not going to go and tear up the grass and shove it in your mouth. But what we are going to do is we're going to lead you beside those still waters. We're going to lead you to those green pastures. We're going to bring you into new understanding and new places. We're going to poke and prod and provoke you to get into a place where you can get fed. But listen, I can lead you there, but every Christian has a responsibility every day. Everybody say every day. Oh, come on. Everybody say every day. Every day that as you are led to those places, those wide open pastures, those green grass areas, here is your job. You got to eat. Okay? You got to feed yourself and feed on the Word of God. Feed on His faithfulness, to feed on the things that have been delivered to you every day to get into this Word as you've been exhorted and encouraged and brought into those healthy places here in the house of God, His church. Are you listening today? We are to feed on it, not just one or two or even three times a week if you're radical, but every day we must keep in mind that in church we're led to those green pastures so that we can feed from them ourselves. Last thing for us today is this. When we plant our lives in church, it brings stability, number one. Number two, it nourishes us. And last thing is this, is that life works. I don't know how else to say it, except that life just works. When you plant roots deep in church, life just starts to work. Why? Because it's God's church. It was God's idea. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Jesus is building his church. There is no other plan of God for the salvation of mankind and for the redemption of this planet except for the fact that Jesus went to the cross and has left a witness on the planet, his church. And if it's God's idea and if it's God's way, then I got to get into his flow and his way, not my way. God is not building his podcast. He's not building his book ministry. He's not building his television show. He's not doing any of that stuff. Now, there's nothing wrong with podcasts and other things like that and television show. Listen, but what God has said is, I will build my church. That's why we often encourage you guys, don't just make live streaming your church. That's wonderful if you're out of the area, if you're sick and you're not able to come, maybe you're getting up there in age and travel is harder. Those are wonderful resources for people to stay connected. But if you can get here, you need to get here. You need to make the time. You need to force it. You listen, everything is designed in the world, in the natural, to keep you away from the plan of God. There will be every distraction, every function, every sports event, every natural entertainment thing is going on. That's why, do you ever wonder why they put everything on Sundays? The Oscars and the Super Bowl and all that kind of stuff. Again, nothing wrong with enjoying those things. But if it keeps you out of church and gets in the way of God, you've got a problem. Because this is the plan of God for the earth today. This is God's redemptive plan on the planet today. There is no plan B. There's not going to be another thing if this doesn't work out. God is building his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And when you start to do things God's way, come on, you get God's results. Anybody want the God result? Anybody want the blessing of God in their life? Anybody want to have life just work? You know, when you get into church, when you start getting a hold of this, and when you start to do things God's way, life just works. Things happen. God moves. Blessings come, all flowing from our roots in church. This is a fountain. Like I said, those date palms out there weren't supposed to bear fruit, but when we planted them in the ground here, they started to produce fruit. When you plant your roots in church, guess what? You're going to start to produce godly good fruit in your lives. Turn me to Psalm chapter number 92. Psalm 92, probably the best possible verse that we could be talking about when it comes to being planted in church. If you need to dog ear this page, if you need to underline it, highlight it, put a little star next to it, if you need to tweet this with a little happy face emoji next to it, if you need to take a selfie and post it on Instagram, hashtag blessed, hashtag rooted in church, whatever you got to do to get back to this verse, make sure that you can get back to this verse. Psalm chapter number 92 and verse number 13. We're going to take a look at it together in Psalm 92, verse number 13. Look at what it says in Psalm 92, 13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord, which we know is the church of the living God, shall flourish in the courts of our God. Notice that what happens in here does not stay here. This is not Las Vegas, that what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, right? This is church. What happens here doesn't stay here. It is designed so that when you get a hold of something in church, that you're taking it to the streets, that we're going public with this, that what happens, what you hear whispered on the inside, that you start to shout on the outside, that you go up to the mountaintops, to the rooftops, that you go to the highways and the byways, the highways and the hedges, and that you compel them to come in, and your life flows from the things that are happening here in church. It was never meant for us to be the frozen chosen, us four no more, and whatever we do here stays here, and then we live like the devil for the rest of the week. No, this should impact and affect every area of your life. It should impact your marriage. It should impact your parenting. It should impact your employment. It should impact your business decisions. It should impact your community. It should impact your family. It should impact your neighborhood. It should impact everything that you're doing. Why? Because you are rooted, and you are receiving that nourishment that you need from the soil, and it's causing steadiness, and it's causing fruit, and it's causing goodness and a flow and outflow into every area of your life. Is anybody listening in this place today? Someone once wrote to a newspaper, and they said they'd been in church for years, and they didn't see the value in it because they couldn't remember every message. It caused quite a controversy. People started writing into the newspaper, talking about the value of church and how it changed their life. Other people wrote back and said, no, I had the same thing. It didn't do me any good. I can't remember any of the messages over the years I was in church. Finally, someone wrote into that same newspaper and they said, well, as long as they were in church, I've been living my life as well. And over my lifetime in these years that I've lived, I've eaten 3 square meals a day. You know where they're going with this, don't you? And they said, I can't remember every meal I've eaten. I can't remember all of the menus. I can't remember all of the ingredients. I can't remember everything that we did and everything that we talked about at the dinner table. But I know that as I ate those meals, that they strengthened me, that they helped me to grow strong, that they kept me healthy in my life. And so when I go to church, I may not remember every message that comes my way. I may not remember every point and every discussion topic that was talked about it, but I know that my life was blessed, that I was strengthened, that I was encouraged, that I was healthy because of what I received in church. And it shut the argument up, ended the conversation. See, without roots, we die. Without church, and when I say church, I don't just mean the institution, the building, that sort of thing. I mean you. Without you, without your witness, without your influence, without you being the salt and the light and the preserving agent that's out there in your areas of influence, the people will die. Think about this for a second. How many people rely on you? How many people are relying on your walk with God? How many people are watching your witness right now? How many people on the job know that you're a Christian? How many people, when their life has fallen apart and they're looking around for somebody to help show them some stability, are looking at you? How many people have you invited? How many people have you brought? How many people, because you go to this church, they go to this church? And without you, they wouldn't go and they would die out there in the field alone. How many people are relying on you? See, you have more influence than you know. You have much more impact on eternity than you put weight on right now. Your life, your giving, your service, your witness, everything that you do while you're here on the planet has an eternal impact. And without you, without the church, this place is lost and dying and going to hell. If you raptured the church, if you removed the church and its influence out of the earth would literally implode. They would fall in and cave in on themselves, destroying one another. But with the church, you know, the ecclesia is called the assembled, the gathered saints of God. They are the ruling, reigning institution on the planet. See, our prayers are what's holding our nation together. Our prayers is what has taken places like South Africa through apartheid and what's going to continue to bring peace in Jerusalem and in the Middle East. Our prayers is what's going to move the heart of our leaders, because the Bible says that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and it's like a water course. He turns it wherever he desires. Our prayers is what's holding our community together and what's going to get those kids off the street. Our prayers is what's going to get your family saved and off drugs and into a place of health and place of strength. Our prayers, it's what's going to keep your children safe and sane. And when they wander, they're going to come back into their borders. Our prayers and our influence and our lives and our not just going to church, but being the church is what's going to make all the difference on this planet. And that is the value of planting in church, because when we plant in church, some things take place in our lives. Number one, it brings us stability. Number two, it brings us nourishment. And number three, it brings us to a place where life just works. Now, the Rock Church and World Outreach Center is a local church, and we have a vision. The overarching vision, the thing that drives us in all of our decisions and everything that we say and do, is that we want to see that the Inland Empire shall be saved. Maybe you didn't realize that's what we were shouting at the end of every church service. That is vision. We're keeping it in front of us. We're declaring it. We're speaking those things into existence every time we gather together, and we're in agreement on that. And because of that, that drives the mission. And the mission of every church, not just the Rock, but every church, is the same: to win souls and to make disciples. We are to be here winning souls and making disciples. Jesus gave us all the Great Commission, didn't he? He said, go ye therefore into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. In the book of Mark, he said, go and preach the gospel to all creation and make disciples. We are to win souls and we are to make disciples. And how we do that in our lives in this church is distinct. Now, remember what I said, that this church has a mission. And that's why when I came on as the new senior pastor, new lead pastor, if you will, following Jesus, lead follow pastor, whatever you want to call that, I don't know. But I didn't want to change that. Why? Because I came to this church because I liked this church. And I liked what we were doing, and I agreed with it, and I was a part of it, and I believed in it. And so we are continuing to win souls and to make disciples. The vision has not changed. We are going to continue to see that the Inland Empire shall be saved. And with that, there are some distinctives, some values, some things that make us who we are. And just like every family has a look, right? My kids have a stamp. You know, they're Pastor Dan and Pastor Jessica's kids. They look like us, right? Same thing. You can see different people in this church, and you go, whoa, that's your child, right? And they got the same eyes or the same hairline or whatever it is. In the same way, people that go to this church has some distinctives. There's some things that you see that are important and valuable to us. We get our name from Matthew chapter number 16. And in verse number 16, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he says, you know, who do the people say I am? And they say, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Others say that you're the prophet. He said, turns the question around and says, who do you say that I am? They say, well, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Peter said that. He stepped up and said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now Jesus turns to him and he says, hey, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but it was my Father who is in heaven. You got a revelation from God, Peter. And he says, and I say to you, you are named Peter in verse number 18, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, was he building his church on Peter? No, because no other foundation could be laid except that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ, right? Jesus is building his church on himself, on his body, right? But he says, I say, you are Peter, and upon this rock. What is this rock? It's the confession of who Jesus Christ is as Savior and Lord that he is building his church. In other words, he's adding to the church when people get saved, right? And there's no other way to get saved except by confessing that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of your life and receiving him into your heart, being born again. So we understand that. And that's why part of our values, the first one is this. That's why we're named the Rock. Because upon this rock, upon the confession of who Jesus is, we have our vision, but we also have our values. And we value people getting saved. And that's why every time we gather together as a church, we have an aggressive altar call. And I don't just say an altar call. It's not just like whoever would like to get saved, get up here. It's an aggressive altar call. We're going after souls. We're overcoming objections. We're getting people unsaved so we can get them saved. You know what I mean? Because in their minds, they think they're saved, but they're really not saved. And so in their minds, we got to work them through that process, and we aggressively go after souls. Why? Because it's a part of our values. It's a part of who we are. We believe that that confession of who Jesus is as Lord is what God is building his church on. And this church has built this church and other churches with the people that have gotten saved here. Because hundreds of thousands of people have walked our aisles giving their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ over the 30 years that we've been in existence. But we also understand that hundreds of thousands of people don't go to this church, right? So they've gone to other churches or they haven't continued on in the faith. And that's why we saw number two, we needed an aggressive fellowship. We needed to do discipleship. That's why we started our spiritual personal trainers program. That's why we have Breaking Free. That's why we continue to work one-on-one with people. That's why we have mentorship and different relationship programs and Bible studies for people to get plugged in to the church. Why? Because we see that it's one thing to get somebody to raise a hand and pray a prayer. Another thing to watch them live that out in their lives. And so we're responsible before God to not only win souls, but to make disciples. So our second value is discipleship. Then after that, we see that we need relationships. Just like you saw those trees that were all connected together in the roots when the winds blew, you know, looked like the ground was breathing, that sort of a thing. But what was taking place? They were connected. They were interdependent on one another. And in the same way, if you come to this church, especially a large church like this one, you sit in a service like this and you're just one person in the sea of faces. You don't know anybody. Nobody knows you. Man, you're not going to be around for very long. You're going to go someplace where people know your name, where they care about you, where there's accountability and there's relationship. And that's why we work hard at getting you guys involved in godly relationships. Now, there's several ways to do that. We do have small groups. We have interest groups. We've got serve teams that when you're serving alongside somebody, man, all of a sudden you start to build some healthy relationships. We have events, men's ministries and women's ministries. You're having conferences, all that kind of thing to build bridges and build relationships. Oftentimes we'll do connect nights out there in the courtyard and just provide atmosphere for people to get together, different things that were taking place throughout the week. And that's why also we say, hey, take some time and say hi to the people around you in church. Because they may not know your name, but the fact that they see you there, the fact that they're smiling and they know that you're there, and when they ask you, how are you doing? They really care about how you're doing. And it's not just a greeting, man, that makes all the difference in the world. And you know that if you came in, and even though they don't know your name, that if you said, you know what, I'm not really doing that good, they'd say, come on, let's pray right now. Let's believe God. Is the wind pushing against you? Let me hold you up so that you don't fall over. You can take it. You can stand strong against this trial. So we provide godly relationships. Next thing is this, is that we do good works. Why do we do good works? Because we believe that good works. That when we do good, it works something. It works something in the hearts of people. That barriers are brought down. That walls cave in. That the gospel can shine forth. And not only that, you know, we serve hundreds of thousands of people. And I'm not exaggerating this number, because we track it. Hundreds of thousands of people. We serve their groceries. We're underneath the bridges. We're in 16 different convalescent hospitals. Oh my goodness. All of the hundreds of thousands of people that we serve, not all those people come to this church. But God comes to this church. Why? Because good works. And because we see that Jesus commanded us to be kind, to lend, to give. Better to give than it is to receive. The Bible says that those who give to the poor lend to the Lord, and the Lord himself shall repay. We know that they're not going to be adding anything. They're not going to be given in the offerings. They can't do that. They don't have the ability to. So therefore, God says, you know what? I'll repay. Because what you've sown, you shall reap. And so we know that even though we don't get all the people to come to church, we know that God gets in this church. But there are people that come here because we feed people. There are people that come here to this church for no other reason than that we have a bus that's going to pick them up. There are people that come to this church because we visited somebody under a bridge and it got them saved and got them healthy and helped them get into a program where they got a job and they got into an apartment and their life has turned around and now they're coming to this church. Why? Because we did good and good works. Next one is this, is leadership training, if I could say it to you like this. Full-time ministers. We want to build people to fulfill their purpose. Did you know that you have a place in the body of Christ? That you have a gift that God has given you? Now, you have value to the kingdom of God, and that all of your life should be towards building the kingdom of God. Now, that looks different in various ways. But sometimes people come to the church like this, they say, man, they've got all their stuff together. There's no opportunity at the Rock. Oh, give me a break. There is so much opportunity to get involved at the Rock. I should have had a big amen on that one. You know, it's astounding how many people volunteer at this church. Thousands of people every year volunteer at this church. But even with the thousands that are doing something at this church, every ministry can testify. And any ministry heads or pastors that you know around here, you want to say amen to this? We could use some more people in our ministries putting their hand to something. We would love to get you involved. So go see the volunteer center right at the info center, right after church. If you want to get involved, we'll have a volunteer expo coming up. But we want to train you up. We want to raise you up. No experience necessary. We will help you. We will encourage you. That's also why we offer the Bible College. It's not just for people that want to be pastors. We want to offer it for people that want to be a better Christian. For people that want to get raised up. You know, you may not think of yourself as a leader, but like I said, you have more influence than you even know. And God wants to use you. And if you get strong and healthy in the will and the way of the Lord, then you will be leading others to Jesus in your job and out there in the community and in your family. And that's why we offer the Bible College, for you to get strong, for you to get healthy. You know, preaching is wonderful and it skyrockets us in, but like I said, you have a responsibility to feed on your own. And the Bible College will give you systematic teaching in areas of the Bible that will help you to understand. And man, it just makes life come alive when you start to get raised up and trained up. Last tour of this, World Missions, we are a local church, but we have a global mandate to go into all the earth. And so we sow into missions and we send missionaries all over the planet. Last weekend, you heard Mike Keyes and saw what was going on in the Philippines. Just this past Friday, I went with Dr. Paul and we went down to the Mutual Faith Missions Conference and saw what Keith and Heidi Hershey are doing in the nations. My goodness, you don't even know that you have a missionary that is supporting Syrian refugees, housing people who are Muslims, who are opposed to the gospel, feeding them, giving their children school, and preaching the gospel to them. After years there in the Life Center, they end up becoming Christians because they just receive the love of God. And they see that the message is real, and so they become Christians. And then they may head out to other parts of the planet. But my goodness, on the front lines of what is happening in the nations, our missionaries are doing a great work. He's also in the Philippines. He's also in South America. He's also in Africa. Dr. Baron Gilfillan, all over the world, doesn't even know how many Bible schools he has. And next month, he's going to be hosting a World Missions Conference right here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We're a local church that has a global mandate. Maybe you didn't know this, but we're supporting a missionary in northern India where they're kicking people out. They're kicking Christians out. It's becoming more and more every day illegal to be a Christian. And as he came in, he just had a heart to rescue girls from sex slavery. But he got a facility and he got a building. It was an old church building. And he realized there used to be a cross up on the top of the pinnacle of the building. He said, first order businesses, we get into this building, I want a cross on the top of this building once again. And he's in churches every week preaching the gospel. And he gives aggressive altar calls. And he's winning souls there in northern India. You're supporting that with your tithes and your offerings. We're sending missionaries into Mexico, down into Colombia this year. We've got missions teams going to the Philippines with our Bible college. Oh my goodness. We believe in world missions. And finally is church planting. Pastor Luke, as many of you know, just moved up into Redmond, Oregon in the area of Bend, and he's going to be working with another church, connecting with them to plant a church. He had a church up there that he went and met with the pastor, and the pastor said, hey, why are you doing this on your own? Why not connect with us? We will give you a couple hundred people to help start a church up there if you'll link up with us. Why go at this alone? Now, let me ask you a question. Who gets a couple hundred people to start a church? You know what I mean? Like if we were doing it here in LA or something like that, I'd be like, hey, Pastor Luke, here's 25 people. Go ahead and start your church. You know what I mean? But he's got a blessing that the Lord has handed to him, an opportunity that he's going to take. And they have lifted their eyes and they've said, not just Redmond. What about Lapine? What about Sisters? What about the surrounding areas? Let's plant networks of churches. And so we're going to be supporting that. We set aside some money that we're going to be sending when they start that church to help them plant that church. But not only that, churches coming out of this church, churches going into local areas, churches going around the world. I believe that God wants to plant churches in other nations from what we do here. Next week when we gather together for Vision Weekend, I'm going to be giving you the theme for the year with some things that I believe God wants to do specifically in 2019, what he wants us to do in 2019. But all of that is submitted to the overarching vision of who we are as the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, that the Inland Empire shall be saved, that we're winning souls and making disciples, and that our vision and our values are lining up with who we are. Everything that we do this year flows from the things that you just heard today. You are the church. Love you guys so much. Did you guys get something from the word today?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.